Amen. Good morning. How are you? Some of y'all slept in. For 8:30 service, I'm like, morning. We're Dale and Gina Forehand of Stained Glass Ministries. We are humbly grateful and honored to be with you this morning and then this next weekend to lead a marriage conference. And let me just personally invite you to come and be a part of that, as your church has so graciously invited us to come and just share our story of what God has done in our lives and our marriage, because we figured it out that marriage is difficult and nobody's perfect and we have to work on it. Amen or omen, anyone? And so reality is that we are just going to share with you the truth of God's word. Let me tell you what we believe. There's a lot of opinions going on right now in America today, in churches today. And we don't need a lot more of opinions. My mama used to say opinions are like belly buttons and everybody's got one and some of them have lint in them. And reality is we don't need more opinions. We need the truth, and the truth is found in the word of God. Amen? So today and this next weekend, we're not going to give you a bunch of our opinions. We're going to show you what the Word of God says, and then you can choose to obey it or not and reap the consequences based on what you choose. Because life is full of choices, and you will never, just never underestimate the power of just one right choice. For my life, I have often taken the Word of God, and I've taken the definition like of the world's definition of a certain word and placed it and tried to apply it to the Word of God. Instead of studying the Word of God and taking the words and what they're defined in the Word of God and then taking them out and applying them into the world. Anybody guilty of that? And so today we want to talk to you about a word. The word is called hope. Because we believe that oftentimes we've taken the world's definition of hope and applied it to the word instead of studying the word's definition of hope and taking it out into the world. So if you've got your Bible with you this morning, I'd like to just read Hebrews chapter 6. So if you've got your Bible, Hebrews 6 verse 19. We're heading into 2015. And some of you may be excited that 2014's gone. Anyone? Like, we are so glad that chapter's closed. And now we start 2015. Have you thought about your goals? Have you thought about your plans? Have you thought about this word hope? What is your hope for 2015? Or do you have no hope? Hebrews 6:19. Here we go. We have this hope. Say it with me. We have this hope. It is as an anchor to our soul. Firm and secure. We have a hope, and it's an anchor for your soul that is firm and secure. I look at the world today, and I believe the world defines hope as a wish. We say things like this: I hope we win $1 million from Publishers Clearinghouse. You know, I probably won't, but I sure hope I do. I hope my job gets better. I hope we can pay our bills. I hope, you know, I hope this sickness goes away. And with all of that, it's sort of this wish, and it almost comes with this doubt. Like, I hope it probably won't, but at least we can hope. That's the world's definition of hope. And reality is that comes with a lot of doubt, and yet the Word of God tells us in James that when we pray, we're to ask in faith, and we're not to doubt, because those who doubt are like the waves of the sea. They're driven with the wind and tossed, and they're unstable in all their ways. That's a far cry from an anchor in our soul that's firm and secure. Amen or oh me? And so reality is, we can walk through this life as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can take the word and define the word hope as a wish. And yet in the Word of God, hope is not a wish that comes with doubt. The biblical definition of hope is this: it's a confident expectancy that God will do what He says He's going to do. A confident expectancy that God will do what He says He's going to do. The Word of God tells us that He's present. The Word of God tells us that He's a promise keeper. The Word of God tells us that He is a provider. The Word of God says He is a protector. The Word of God says He is a perfecter. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that no matter what circumstances you're in, your Father will never leave you nor forsake you, that He'll provide for your every need according to His great riches through Christ Jesus? Do you believe that this morning? Because if you do, then you can carry into 2015 the hope, the confident expectancy that no matter what comes our way, what gets thrown on our plate this year, we can have hope, the confident expectancy that God's going to keep His word. He's going to do what He says. Because our hope indeed is built on nothing less, is it? Than Jesus, His word, and the truth therein. And let me tell you why I'm so passionate about that this morning. Because Dale and I found ourselves in a hopeless situation. And God restored, redeemed that hope in us. And so, Father God, I just pray right now that Your Spirit would come and speak, that we would decrease, that You might increase, that You would fill my husband with Your Spirit, that You would use him in a powerful way, and Lord, that we would just give You our attention and receive Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you think she believes that this morning? You know, I've heard a pastor say before, it's hard to be effective until you've been infected.
Yes.
And girlfriend here has been infected. Because we've lived this hopeless situation, even this worldly view of hope that she described as more of a wish and not a biblical basis for hope, the confident expectancy that God will do what He promises. And I don't know about you, but life seems to me at times has a way of chipping away at my theology. Like the circumstances I find myself in, the stress of the world, the pressure, the fact that I have more month than I have money. The job doesn't go well, the marriage breaks up, the kids are prodigals. I mean, just run your list of the things that life just throws at you that chips away at your theology. And one of the things that Gina and I are constantly trying to remind people who sit under our teaching is this thing right here. God wants our theology to match our reality.
Right.
He wants what we say we believe to be our truth. But sometimes, if we're honest, there is a gap. There's a gap between what we sing and what we say and our everyday reality. And so when we talk about this biblical hope, we're talking about the sure foundation, that this confident expectancy that God will do what He promises, that you really can trust Him. Now, you have to understand something. For us, we were both born again at early ages. She became a believer in Christ at 10, I at the age of 9. We were born, basically in the church. I mean, my parents, her parents raised us up in the church. So you see, doing church is not the problem. Around this country today, there will be people all day long today, and they will do church. But one of the great indictments of people in this country, that was our indictment in our own journey, was that we were religiously active, but we were not spiritually intimate. And religion will confuse you about having a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we had the doing church thing. But the reality was, in our own personal life, in our own personal marriage, it wasn't perfect. It was far from that, really. And before I kind of jump into that part of the story, let me just take a little quick exit and talk to you about the marriage conference next weekend, all right? Listen, I want to put everybody kind of on the same page right now. So if marriage is hard, raise your hand. All right, those who did not raise their hand, they're afraid that they're going to get payback if they do.
Right.
On the way. But the reality is, marriage is hard. And simply because marriage is hard, you should be here next weekend, Friday night and Saturday. And hey, guess what? I'm an Alabama fan. Hey, Alabama fans, we ain't going to Dallas. All right? So you can sign up now. Auburn fans, you should have already signed up. Okay? Marriage is hard. But God has an answer for your marriage. He really does. If you have kids, you owe it to your children to be here next weekend. It is $20. You cannot get your oil change for that. It's $20 a couple. This church has made a great investment for you guys to have an opportunity to come on a Friday night and a Saturday and work on the most important earthly relationship that you have, called marriage. And I would go as far as say this, that the strength of your church will be tied directly to the strength of your marriages. And so here's what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. The service is going to get over, and your wives, men, let me talk to you for a second. Wives, your wives, men, are going, I sure would like to go to that. But I'm afraid if I ask him, I don't, you know. And so men, take the lead. And as soon as the service is over, go, hey, honey, I'm going to sign us up for the marriage conference. And then after you pick her up, because she's just fainted, sign up. Get online. Sign up. Put your $20 in there and bring your wife. It will pay long. Men, I'm trying to help you here. It will pay long-term benefits throughout 2015, okay? Can I get an amen, sisters? Amen. Okay, I got one here. Yeah, she's in favor. The reason that we're passionate about next weekend and about this thing called hope is because we found ourselves, as Gina said, in a very hopeless situation. 8.5 years into a marriage with a 6-year-old little boy and a 2-year-old little girl and doing church. And because, you know, the reality is it's easy to look good here on Sunday mornings. Everybody in their nice clothes and wearing the nice smiles. But I know it doesn't happen here at Dawson. You know, it doesn't happen here. Let's just go ahead and say it doesn't happen here. It happens in other churches. Maybe some churches in Mississippi. Let's say that, okay? And so over in Mississippi today, there are couples who got up and they fought on the way to church. Can you believe that? And they're like, rah, 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 you didn't help me with the kids and you spilt the milk. And you know, but when they get out of the car onto the church campus, they go from rah, 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 to this.
Right.
And they smile. And everybody says the same thing. Good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. How are you doing? And we all say what? Uh-huh. Because we're all a bunch of what?
Liars.
This section keeps getting it right here. She said liars. See, the reality is we do wear the mask and play the game and pretend that everything's okay. But at least in our story, our marriage was very broken. Deacon, Sunday school teachers, leading soloist, broken. Because we were religiously active and wearing the mask, but we were not spiritually intimate. And so I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I grabbed her by the arm and I put her in the car and I packed her bag and I kicked her out of the house. As a deacon, as a Sunday school teacher, mask-wearing, religiously active, not spiritually intimate, performance-based Christian. Grabbed the kids, my son Cole, my daughter Georgia, put them in the car, and I disappeared. I ended up in Tennessee, running as far away from her and my problems as I could get. So the only way she can get me to come back to the state of Alabama is she has to file for divorce. And so she files for divorce and I have to come back home. And we walk into a courtroom on the third floor here at the Jefferson County Courthouse. And we walk up in front of a judge. And he says, sir, what would you like to do? And I said, you know, I want to raise my kids. And he says, ma'am, what would you like to do? And she says, I want to raise my kids. And so our lawyers go over and they have a little caucus. And my lawyer comes to me and he says, Dale, if you leave that home, she will say you're an unfit father and you'll lose your kids. And her lawyer told her the same thing. And so we moved back in the same house together and we live in the same house together for 15 months pending our divorce trial. Anybody seen the movie War of the Roses? And so we did that. So we lived in the same house together for 15 months pending a divorce trial. And then the court scene happens and we go to court for 3 days. And people who were my friends took my side and people who are friends took her side. Because you have to understand something today. Sin is never neutral. It always splatters on somebody else. Your choices not only impact you, they impact a lot of people. And so we walk into a courtroom and we just throw as much dirt and as much mud on each other as we can, twist, tell lies, do whatever you got to do to win the court scene, to win the kids, to win the battle, to be the victor. And for 3 days, we just ripped each other up. Judge hits the gavel on the table. Court clerk says he'll make a decision and he'll call or she'll call in a few days. And so we move back into that same house waiting for that phone call. And that home was real small. Matter of fact, in that whole 15 months, we had 2 Christmas trees because I'm not going to put my presents under your tree. I'm not going to eat your food. We got private investigators and we got tape recorders and we got all. I mean, it was, I cannot tell you today in this brief time how a broken mess and awful to my own shame a war it really was. And I can track it back to religious activity, which was void of spiritual intimacy. And so this hope she talks about, what happened? Where did it go? I mean, what in the world? See, when this becomes our truth, the whole story begins to change. And so we actually get divorced, and the phone call does happen, and the court clerk does call, and she says that the judge has decided to grant us joint custody. Now, I don't know if you've ever been mad at God, but I was mad at God because, see, I didn't give that lawyer all that money for a tie. And it didn't go down the way I thought. Have you ever had things not go down the way you thought they would go down? And it left you with questions. It left you with questions about why and where and what. And these questions can chip away at our theology.
Right.
They can chip away at our hope. That's why Scripture says that hope deferred makes a heart sick. And so life unfolds. And as Gina always says at our conferences, then what happens is life gets so large and God gets very small. And what ends up happening in your life and in my life is this, is that we begin to gaze at our problems while we glance at God. But what God wants you to do in 2015 is to start gazing at God while you glance at your problems.
Yes.
We sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." See, maybe sometimes the problem is not what's going on around us, but what we're looking at. And we're gazing at our problems and glancing at God. And so here we are, and we're divorced, and we've got joint custody, and about 4 months later, she called me at the office because in the court hearing, in the court order, in the papers, the judge granted her, I don't understand this. I have to go on record. I don't understand this. The judge gave her the right to determine sports for our kids. As a guy, I don't get it. I'm sorry. But she got the right for sports. And so she says, "Dale, this is Gina." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." And she said, "Listen, I want to put Georgia in gymnastics." I'm like, "No, you're not going to put her." "But it's a mother-daughter gymnastics class." "I don't care if it's a mother-daughter gymnastics class. I'm not going to let you put her in the class with you because when she's with me, I'm not going to take her. I don't want you to have any more time with her than I get." And so I was just fighting her and pushing her back and, you know, stiff-arming it. And I'm just not going to be told what to do. And so the fight was just going on. It was so loud that people in my office began to come down the hallway and told me to be quiet. And I said, "Well, just shut the door," and we just, you know. And then as the fight continued, Gina begins to cry. And I'm thinking, I got her. You know, like I made her cry, and she's going to quit, and she's just going to give up and throw in the towel, and she'll let it go and until the next fight happens. And then, so I'm thinking the whole time she's crying that I've won again, right? And so, but she shocks me. She's like, "I want you to stop talking for a second, and I need you to listen to me." I'm like, "What is it?" She goes, "Listen." And I could hear it like it was in a broken voice, right? And she's like, I want you in this to stop. The madness, the fighting. I want you to come home and let's see if we can fix this thing. I want you to come back home." Now, we've been doing marriage ministry for 16 years now. And every time we get to our story, people come up and say, "Why?" Ask Gina, "Were you crazy? After 15 months in that house, and all that was said, and that court seat, I mean, what in the world compelled you to step out there and ask him to come home?" And she always gives the same answer. "It was not me. It was the Spirit of God and the hope I had in Jesus Christ." It's always the same answer. See, that's why she's infected. Because she knew that this word said that hope was the confident expectancy that God would do what He promised. Now, certainly she had no control on my response, but all she had to do was be faithful for her own opportunity. And so as she asked me to come home, we have a conversation that continues, and I begin to weep, and I leave the office, and my coworkers think I've now gone postal. So I think I even heard somebody say, "Should we follow him home?" And so I get to the the house where she was staying and a knock on the door. And there was a friend of ours who testified against me in our court hearing. And she opened up the door. Ladies and gentlemen, her eyes got that big around. She looked at Jenny. She goes, "Hey, the devil's on the front porch." And I'm like, "Hey, Paula. Good to see you too." And then Gina walks out of our home that we built together. And I grabbed her by the hand. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. See, because it had been 24 months since I'd held her hand. See, life has a way, ladies and gentlemen, of also chipping away at the little things that really matter. Like the sheer joy of today when this service is over, of you being able, if you're married, to grab the hand of your spouse and walk across the road with them. The sheer joy of being able to sit and have a cup of coffee. The simple joy of being able to just enjoy a husband or a wife and the friendship you have. See, life has a way of chipping away. That's why this weekend, next weekend, is so important. And so we grabbed hands and we walked down the sidewalk into the car. And I remember saying to her, I'm like, "Gina, I don't know how to do this. We haven't spoken kindly to one another in 2 years. I don't even know how to start. All I got today," this is exactly what I said to her, "all I got today is I know this is the right thing to do." And I kissed her on the cheek, and I got in the car and I drove away. See, most of the time you can't figure out the plan because it's called faith. All you got today is you just know the right thing to do. The next several months, we began to go to Christian counseling, and I say it like this, that God took a hammer of grace and a chisel of love, and he knocked off the stuff that looked like us and not like him. See, I don't know if you're thankful today for the grace of God. I don't know if you're thankful today for the second chances that you've been given in life. I don't know if you're thankful today that you may not be what you want to be, but praise God, you are not what you once were. I don't know if you're thankful for the opportunity that you got today, that you've really got to get up and breathe and suck in some air, because God is the giver of breath and life. I don't know if you're thankful for today for what you have, because your world is so large and your circumstances are so big that Jesus Christ and the hope she talked about, it veils in comparison to what you're focused on. And so we go to this Christian counseling, and he just begins to just change us. And on December the 21st of 1997, so some 17 years ago, this past December, we went back to an altar because God did a miracle in my life and a miracle in my marriage. And we got a second chance. And so we get remarried. You believe God still does miracles today? Second chances, hope. And so we get remarried. Had a wonderful little private service with just our family. And then we went to Denny's for dinner. And it was a great day. And that little boy, Cole, who was six, who lived in this war zone, who goes to 2 Christmas trees, who watched mom and dad fight, who would hide behind our couch with his hands over his ears and cry because mom and dad were not getting along. This little boy who became a pawn in our war walks into our bedroom and says, "Hey, mom and dad, since you said that God put our family back together, can you tell me how I can ask Jesus to be my Savior?" Yeah, you heard that right, that the day that we got remarried was also the day that we led our son to Christ. Because of hope. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love him.
Yes.
See, when Gina talks about this confident expectancy that God will do what he promises, then you have to ask this question. What do you really believe about God? You really have to ask that question. Like, what do you really believe about God? Because see here, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot behave beyond your belief system. So most of our problems in life are really about what we're believing about God or what we're believing about ourselves. And so here we are in this, I'm believing that this marriage is over, and we're believing all this awful stuff, and then all of a sudden we get back to this basis of foundation, because here's what I figured out, and I just want to make it really simple this morning for us all. For most of my Christian journey, I had a lot of information. I've already talked about being religiously active without spiritual intimacy. But for this moment in time, for us, if this is not what we say it is, and this doesn't do what we say it does, and if God can't be trusted, and hope is not the confident expectancy that God will do what he promises, then guess what? We're all wasting our time here today.
That's right.
We might as well go ahead and turn off the lights and go do something else. But we just came by to tell you that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And he does what he says he does. And you can trust him at his word, take him at his word, and he will promise what he promises to do. He will fulfill it. But you have a part to play. You have to trust him, and you have to walk by faith. Even when it makes no sense to you, just do the next right thing. Baby, I don't know what to do. All I got today is this. Is I just know this is the right thing. See, that's hope. That's hope. The confident expectancy that God will do what he promises. Abraham knew this. Against all hope. This is Romans chapter 4. Against all hope. But in hope, believe God. It was credited to him as righteousness. He did not weaken nor did he waver in his faith, but being fully persuaded that God would call things that were not as though they were. See, Abraham was fully persuaded. That was us. Could God redeem this marriage? Is the God that we said we've studied and read and taught, is this the God? See, it got so simple for us. If he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does, then we have hope. We have hope. Now, here's the good news for you today. The good news for everybody within the sound of my voice. You probably came in today with something that you're worried about, stressed over, concerned over. You probably have something that you walked into this room with, because we live in a broken world. And we're living with broken people. So everybody walked in with something today. And so the good news for you is this, though. While your story today, the thing that you walked into this room with, may not be a broken marriage. It might very well be, but it may not be. The good news for you today, no matter what your circumstance is, whether it is the same or different than our story today, the good news is that God is the same. The same God. The same God. The same God who healed this right here and restored this marriage is the same God who wants to step right into the middle of what you brought into this room today.
Yes.
The same God. The question is, will you let him? Will you believe with confident expectancy that God will do what he promised? And do the next right thing. See, sometimes I wonder, and I'll close, sometimes I wonder, what would have happened if I told Gina, nope, not coming home. Not coming home. Sometimes I wonder that. And clearly today, I don't know that answer. But also clearly, I do know what happened because of the faithfulness of God and our trusting him to do what he promised. So I say it like this, then you should never, ever, ever underestimate your one single act of obedience, because you don't know what that will do.
Right.
You just don't know what it will do. You know, this is our third service today, and it's like sometimes somebody asks me, well, how have people been receiving what y'all been saying? So I think sometimes we've scared them. Because it's just one of those in-your-face stories, right? And if I could just leave you with this. Every time we share our story, our heart is this. This story is not about Dale and Gina Forehand. This story is about the faithfulness and the grace of God.
Yes.
And you can trust Him. And His word and His ways really do work.
Yes.
They really do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for me for just a second? And just in the stillness of this moment, if you brought some things today with you, some concerns, some worries, some uncertainties, some questions, you found yourself at the beginning of 2015. And in some ways, it seems, you may even use the word hopeless. In a room this size with this many people, there's clearly many people who are hurting today, need answers, have questions. There are parents who are interceding. I know even right now, as we shared our story, they're interceding and thinking about their own child, their own adult child who's in a very strained marriage, headed to divorce, coming out of it. Just all of that's very real. And you probably come in this morning with that mask on, and nobody knows. And I just want to give you a chance this morning, just in the very safe sanctity of this moment, to be bold by just raising your hand and saying, Dale, I need you to pray for me. I need prayer today. This hope you've talked about, and just hold them up high because the lights are bright and I can't see, but I need some prayer today. I've got some things I'm carrying, just hands. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we do have hope in you. That's what your word tells us. So today, for those who raise their hands and for those who just didn't, but in the quietness of their own heart and the things that they're even carrying today, God, I'm praying that your spirit and your peace that surpasses all of our earthly understanding will keep their hearts in mind in Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord Jesus, you would send forth all of your calm and peace, and strengthen their faith and calm their anxiousness. Hear their cries, Father. You know what they need. And as they walk through this season of whatever this season is for them, Lord, I pray that you would draw them into a deeper love and just a deeper dependence upon you, Father.
Yes.
That you would use it even to allow them to lean into you in a greater way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that, Father, we all stand in places of need. And so may the word that we shared today, may it leave us on a foundation to stand and say that we have the confident expectancy, God, in you.
Yes.
That our faith is in the God of the promise and not just the promise.
Yes.
And so by faith, we will walk out of this place today and we will run the race. May 2015 be the best year of our lives because it's the best year of our lives spiritually.
Yes.
Now I'm praying for marriages at Dawson Memorial, Father. I pray you'd stir the men and women in this room to carve out a Friday night and a Saturday, God, and join us to grow ourselves into your image and to become the men and women, moms and dads, husbands and wives that you've called us to be. Lord, bless every person within the sound of my voice. Send forth all that they need as they go about their week this week. Bless them in Jesus' name.